Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
And I mean, it took all day to make dinner, like for the, because they had to do it for the entire field. And like, they were just sitting around all day running an entire household for everyone. But I mean, you would sit, you would, so I mean, it's not like work life integration is a new concept, but you don't just stop working for life to happen. It just, you do a little bit of work and then you have a little bit of life, or you talk to people during, I mean, how many work friends do you have? Like, and how many, it's just, yeah, life and work are the same thing.
Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier where you said, before you start anything, make sure you're really clear on your why. And I think that goes back to when you're clear on your why, whatever the purpose is for the company you're starting or the job that you're doing, if the why is something that means something to you, then the work doesn't really feel like it's work. Honestly, my work doesn't feel like it's work. I love having my laptop everywhere. Everywhere I go, my laptop's stuck with me. Like, I'll have a movie night on a Friday with my daughters and my laptop's on me. And they're like, can you put that away? I'm like, well, I'm just doing non-thinking. It's just simple work I'm doing. I'm watching the movie. It's just stuff I have to get through. I'm cleaning up my email box or whatever, my inbox. And so for me, it's like, it doesn't even feel like work. And it's really sad. And I'm like, am I turning into a workaholic, or do I really truly love what I do? And I feel like that's what it is. I love what I do. That's why I don't feel like it's work. And I can just work 18 hours and not feel like I'm exhausted. Although my eyes hurt nowadays that I'm getting older.
Blue light glasses are great.
I have it. I just got it actually a couple of weeks ago too. Yeah, I'm starting to get a little floaties and stuff, which the doctor said it's all because of the screen. He's like, what's the average time you spend on the screen? I'm like, 12 to 18 hours. He's like, ooh, you need to stop doing that. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to. But going back to the why, I would love to touch upon that a little bit and how what you're doing now is connected with your why. How did you come to that clear understanding of what is your why and how you want to contribute to the society? I would love to learn about that.
This comes up all the time. People are always asking me what my motivation is. And for the geeks that are listening to it, they'll get it immediately. My motivation is to make the world more like Star Trek than Skynet. You got it. Yeah. Like, for those that aren't geeks, it's basically, I want to make the world a place where people are collaborative towards a greater good, and not one where they're giving their lives over to unethical technology. We're at a precipice right now where, like, people like me, the technology creators, are creating things without thought for what it can be. And like, if you are creating technology, especially the stuff that uses AI, it can only do what people program it to do. And if the people at the table that are programming it are not thinking of through the ramifications ethically, then we have real world ramifications right away of Skynet, of a bad future. So, I mean, and this is every aspect of society. So everything I do, every aspect of my life, I run through this filter of like, can we make the world more like that collaborative future where we're all working together towards the greater good?
That's a great purpose to be waking up for every day. I love that. And in terms of the people that are creating technology, I know that, and I've worked with a lot of startups in the last decade, and some have really good intentions to really help people, right? Whether it's cutting out the middle guy and passing on the savings to the consumer, or if it's a technology that's helping and simplifying and saving time. But I've come across a few startups that just didn't care how that was going to affect people negatively. And they just cared about the money they were going to make, turn around and sell the company. I guess my question is, as a consumer, how do we know? Because I'm in advertising, so I have a lot of access to back-end data. I see things. I see the information that's collected from all of us, whether we're on Instagram or whatever platforms we may be on. And I'm usually very cautious with what I put out there online. But most people don't understand that, and they don't see how all this information that's being collected is going to be one day probably used against them. So what's the recommendation for anyone, whether they're business owners or just simply people, consumers that are trying to trust these technologies that are coming out daily? What should they be looking out for to protect themselves?
I think the main thing is don't be afraid of the computer. The computer, like technology itself, is not something to be afraid of. Advancements in technology are tools that can help us to make the world an amazing, better place that can grow. It's just like it always has been. It's the people and how they use technology that we need to be cautious of. So definitely ask questions, but make sure that you trust the people that you're listening to who are answering those questions. Figuring out who to trust is always the hard thing. So I think what you need to do as an average consumer is listen to your gut. Like if you think that it is something that will be useful to you, that aligns with your personal values, then go for it. And if it doesn't align with your values, then don't. I mean, to use another sci-fi reference, like the Avengers are good for America, but just think of the Sokovians and what the Avengers did to them.
So. Yeah, exactly. So that's a great advice. Tell me a little bit about your, I guess, what you do at The Difference as a CTO. I would love to.
So at The Difference, our company, we're one of those companies that you generally don't hear about because we're behind the scenes. We actually were named one of Forbes' the 16th most innovative culture to work for, like innovative company to work for. But we're, again, one of those quiet companies that you never hear of. But what we do is we work with companies like the Gates Foundation, the CDC, the UN, UN Women, the Air Force, the Space Force. We help them with their innovation programs, and we help them to get them off the ground. And as the CTO, I help come up with the crazy, cool, interesting ways to do those. So like we just recently launched the SpaceWorks website for the Space Force and their challenge programs. We run the AFWorks challenge for the Air Force, which is to help industry work with the Air Force on innovation programs. We're running zero dose vaccination programs for mixed communities, for the UN, all sorts of cool stuff.
Wow, that's amazing. So, so it's mostly for, would a small startup be able to work with you guys, or are you at a level where?
So small startups can work with us through our crowdsourced challenges for the military and government. And also like through our pacts, like, so the, like when we're running, like efforts for the UN or the Gates Foundation or things like that, we often have grant programs open through those.
Nice. And do they need to have any certification to be able to?
No. And if they do, then like we help get them through that.
Awesome. That's awesome. I know we have 10 more minutes to until the end of our interview. And I do want to talk about scaling and startups a little bit more, because that's where I feel like as a and well, my agency is not so much of a startup. It's been around for 5 years now. Although I help startups that get funded millions and they need to scale, I'm somewhat in the startup world, I guess. But then starting my own company with the health and wellness industry, CBD, it's been really challenging, you know, in terms of dealing with a startup, but then dealing with a startup that is literally having to deal with so many guidelines and the restrictions, yes, of advertising and all of it. It's just been such a challenging startup to start. And a lot of times when I speak to other people who are starting a company and they pick my brains for marketing and advertising and scaling their business, it's easy for me to give them advice, not just as a marketing agency owner, but also because I'm dealing with this challenging business that I'm starting, because I'm like, hey, if I can make something work for my CBD brand, then this could work for you so easily. You don't have to deal with Google blocking your ads or Facebook not allowing you to, you know, advertise and promote or get tagged by influencers. So if you were to give someone like me advice who is really struggling with something that is beyond internal problems, because obviously as a startup, we deal with internal issues, sure, all day long, right? It's hiring the right team, financing the company, raising funds, whatever. It's challenge after another challenge, but then to have these external challenges constantly, it's almost like, why are you in it? Why are you even bothering with this business? But I'm on a mission to add relief to millions of people's routines. That's my mission. I CBD has changed my life, dealing with hemiplegic migraines, and I'm so thankful to it that I want to make sure other people have access to this amazing product. And I made it so that it doesn't have THC, mm-hmm, because for me to be able to be clear and focused is important as an entrepreneur. And so what advice would you give to someone like me who goes through these constant roller coasters, not daily, hourly sometimes? Yeah. It's insane. I would
So I think that part of what you're already doing is where you're reaching out to people, that you're doing these alternative kinds of advertising, like doing blogs, doing conferences, doing like reaching out one by one. Doing podcasts. These are great ways to reach out that are not going to get blocked. Another thing that I would suggest is to go old school. I mean, you're going to reach a lot of people, and a lot of people overlook this, with local radio advertising. And people forget that the radio is out there, and the ROI on those ads is so good. There's satellite radio ads, there's like Hulu, Spotify, all of those, but I mean, like actual local radio spots, like for your kind of thing is exponential return. You just have to figure out you have to really define your persona. Who is the person that you are going to go after? And where are they? Like for some startups, like that's in-game ads. Those have really, really high ROI as well. But it's all about how many impressions. It takes about 12 impressions before somebody actually remembers what your brand is. So if you can have 12 different touch points in a person's day, then they will know who you are. So if you can have 12 different touch points somewhere on the internet, that are low cost to you as a startup, then you will have a higher chance of success.
It's funny you mentioned radio, because that's what Global Flight does. We do city takeovers by using local networks, media networks, to help spread awareness about whatever brands that we work with, the problem that I've come across with some of the networks, again, they don't want to promote CBD. And I'm just like, I feel so, my hands are tied. I'm like, I do advertising for all these other companies and I spend all this money and I can really get a good deal to advertise my own product, but it's not allowed. And to your point, I think traditional in this case does play a role because it's so noisy online that I remember when I started in the advertising space about 15 years ago, the touch point, the rule of thumb was 6 to 8 times people need to hear about you, whether it was online or radio. Now it's 12 and I think it's getting worse, especially post COVID. It's probably getting even noisier because everyone's trying to get online. The one thing that I did, and going back to traditional, the workshops that we did, and I think, you know, in terms of educating people, because most people think CBD is cannabis, they think it's marijuana, and having to explain to them that our product is from the hemp plant, it has no marijuana, it has no THC, and all of that education, it's almost like having a second business that needs to support this business, because now we're all about educating, and then we have to be patient and watch the funnel, how it kind of comes when they convert. And I know that, you know, Evernote to a certain extent was simple in a sense where I remember using it for my research. I was in grad school and I remember using it for research. And then when I started my first startup, I loved it because I was able to save things online, articles, pictures, everything, and just organize it and put it in different folders. And I never had to look for any information. How did you guys, did you have to educate people? I mean, for me, it was almost second nature. You know, I was younger, so it was easier to understand. But I feel like, speaking of persona and the target audience, we are targeting, I would say, 35 females, 35 to 54, and they're pretty techie. They're pretty, you know, I would say educated, but there's that sweet spot, I would say 45 to 54, that still think CBD's marijuana and they're like, nope, I don't want drugs in my system. So educating them is crucial. I've come to that realization that I have to have that component in my business. It needs to be pretty much part of our marketing, the core of our marketing. What advice would you give to keep it simple so that it doesn't feel like it's another business that I'm running?
So, I mean, I think part of it is that you need to partner up with other groups that are having a similar thing. Like that, I mean, so there's definitely other people that might be having this issue. And rather than having constant educational workshops that you have to do this, I mean, like doing this kind of an informational session is good. When we started, we absolutely had to educate people on what this was. What Evernote was, and there's always an educational component. I mean, you want it to be easy, but like, I mean, even when you mentioned folders for Evernote, like that made me smile because like we never had folders. So people, like I had to constantly explain to people,
not like, a folder.
No, here's how to use tags as folders.
Right.
And like that was one of the FAQ entries and one of the first FAQ entries that I wrote.
But if people do want to get a hold of you or follow you, and you're so inspiring, I think, you know, they should be able to find you online. Where could they get a hold of you?
So I'm Heatheriel everywhere online. So I have heatheriel.com and I'm also on all the social medias. If they do want to buy the book, all the proceeds go to my nonprofit, Serenzi Global. You can find the book, Birth of a Unicorn. It's on Amazon, also birthofaunicorn.com, and my nonprofit, Serenzi Global, goes to, it's for upskilling people around the world to help them with the coming AI dawn.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.